Hello and welcome to the American Writers Museum Author Talks podcast, where we bring the power of the written word straight to your ears. This week we honor the 53rd anniversary of the Stonewall Riots with comic artist Archie Bongiovanni, who discusses their graphic novel, The Stonewall Riots, Making a Stand for LGBTQ Rights, a history comics book. Archie is joined by journalist Andrew Davis, executive editor of the Chicago-based LGBTQ plus media outlet Windy City Times. This conversation was recorded live during our American Writers Festival on May 15th, 2022, which featured more than 75 leading writers from across the country. We hope you enjoy entering the mind of a writer.
Welcome to this program of the American Writers Festival. My name is Courtney Borjas, and I'm a program coordinator here at the American Writers Museum. I'm here to introduce our guest for our next event. Archie Bongiovanni's new book, History Comics, The Stonewall Riots, is a graphic novel retelling the famous battle that ignited the nationwide struggle for LGBTQ rights, told through the eyes of three modern teenagers who experienced the riot firsthand. Archie Bongiovanni is a queer comic artist living in Minneapolis. They're the co-creator of the best-selling comic, A Quick and Easy Guide to They-Them Pronouns, which has been praised by Publishers Weekly and School Library Journal. Their comic Greasebats was published on Autostraddle for 7 years before being printed as a collection by Boom Studios in 2019. They're the author of History Comics, Stonewall, drawn by A. Andrews, published this year by First Second, and their original graphic novel Mimosa, published by Shirley Press, will be out in spring 2023. Archie has appeared in The New Yorker, Vice, Electric Literature, and The Nip. They're here to discuss History Comics, The Stonewall Riots with Andrew Davis, executive editor of the Chicago-based LGBTQ plus media outlet, The Windy City Times. Please join me in welcoming Archie and Andrew.
Hi.
I guess we should get this show on the road.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, I want to start off just by asking, what drew you to writing? Like, did it happen organically? Did you always know you wanted to be a writer? Did you fall into it somehow?
Great question. So I kind of, I wrote this book, but I also, like, I write and draw comics, and I've always wanted to, and there hasn't been a moment in my life where that desire hasn't innately existed. As soon as I started to read comics, I was like, oh, I want to write comics, I want to draw comics. And I went back to my family home last year, and I saw one of my high school journals, and in it is an entry from me in high school that was like, I know it sounds nerdy, but I just really want to draw comics. I think I can do it. So I've always been into it. There's something I think about the juxtaposition of words and images, and how they have so much emotion behind them. Mm-hmm. And I've always just been drawn to that method of storytelling. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Something that struck me about this to me, mm-hmm. is a very innovative history book. It really is. And immersive. I just found myself, mm-hmm. being drawn in. I think you meant to also have that emotional connection, mm-hmm. as well as that informational one. But tell me about the research that went into this book.
Yeah, so I did a lot of research. I'm a comic artist, I'm a writer, I'm not a historian.
And you weren't around then.
No, and I wasn't around then. No, so the majority of the research that I did was from first person accounts. And there is a little bit of a note in there that is, that something with first person accounts, they sometimes change, and they sometimes counter, they kind of sometimes fight against each other. Like, one person's account of the evening is very different than another person's account. But I wanted to make sure I wasn't just doing and using anything that wasn't direct from the source. Any sort of newspaper articles about Stonewall are going to be so jaded from the times. So it was a lot of reading, it was a lot of listening to some podcasts, listening to other people kind of delving into it. There's a book out there called The Stonewall Reader, which is a bunch of first person accounts that I really liked. And I wanted to give that book a special shout out.
Something that I noticed while going through this is the evolution of language. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been aware mm-hmm. of this, obviously, being an editor, mm-hmm. but it's like, for example, the word queers yeah. or queer is used derisively mm-hmm. in the Stonewall era, but nowadays it's been taken back.
Yeah. Yeah.
How conscious did you feel you had to be?
Yeah. There are terms that were used also in this era that are offensive now, and just like how you were saying, there's been words that mm-hmm. were offensive then that have been like reclaimed and are very powerful. So it was something that I thought about. I wanted to make sure that the words that were in there were things that I felt comfortable knowing that youth are going to be reading this book, felt comfortable knowing that they might say out loud to like their friends or say in out loud in the classroom. So I didn't include like some of the more sensitive words, just so that didn't happen, or like, you know, in this book there's also like a glossary at the end, and I always find that so challenging. There's the author, I just listened to the author, Garth Greenwell, talk a little bit about like definitions and queerness, and he was like, as soon as we try and define queerness, transness, identities, we're putting things into a box. We're becoming, he basically was like, we're becoming straight, which I liked. So like the trying to have, doing the glossary at the end is just like always such a challenge, because I do feel like it's important to have like some base knowledge, some base language. However, no matter how I try, it's gonna be lacking, you know, it's always gonna be lacking. So that was one thing with like language. My other book, A Quick and Easy Guide to They Them Pronouns, also has like definitions in it, and I was like, I really hate this. Like, I'd rather people kind of like, it's something you gotta just like feel and learn on your own, but writing a nonfiction book kind of required, like it was kind of required by my editors, and I was like, okay, we'll do our best. Yeah.
Well, it's a mix of nonfiction and fiction, mm-hmm. right? To
yes.
To a certain extent. Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There are actually five characters that mm-hmm. travel. I'm including the bird.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely a fiction book. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. But I did also want to ask, because you mentioned the word classroom, which made me think of schools, mm-hmm. which made me think of like the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida.
Yeah.
How concerned are you that this book may not be allowed in certain parts of this country?
Yeah, I'm fairly concerned about it, because the goal with History Comics in with First Second, the publisher, is to get them in the classroom. Comics are such an accessible way to like share information. They're It's not only do you have like so much emotions that can like draw someone into the story of something that maybe they wouldn't read as a blog post or as a book, but comics tend to go a little bit faster. And I just feel like it's really important to have every access to information in every kind of form of media. So I want to make sure that, you know, there's comics about it. However, when I first pitched this to my editor, they were like, okay, let's try and just like not get this banned. And I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like one of the first things they said. And I was like, okay, but I also have to like be true to like the nature of what went down. And I don't want to like, sugarcoat that the cops played like a really, you know, terrible role that night. But I was like, I feel okay about it. But then in the recent years, especially this year, I do imagine it's going to probably be a problem, or like not taught, or not included in schools. And there's not, it's a concern. It's a concern, yeah.
But you felt you had to walk a tightrope, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes, because it's also, it takes place in a bar, you know, so there's drinking and cruising and stuff like that, you mm-hmm. know, like it's happening and it's part of Stonewall. So it was kind of like a line that me and my editors kind of like danced around. But again, trying to like stay true to like, like I could draw people like having drinks at Stonewall, but I don't know if I'm like this was a bar. I don't know. Yeah, it was a fine line. Yeah.
What is this cruising you speak of? I have no idea. I kid.
Sweating.
But speaking of bars though.
Yes.
I want you to talk a little bit, because I find this fascinating, even though I knew about it, I find it fascinating every time I come across it, about the connection between gay bars and the mafia.
Yeah. It is like a really fascinating aspect of history, of queer history too, is that like, mafias owned, you know, the majority of the gay bars, paid off the police to prevent raids, and then it still kind of happened. And I think I wanted to make sure that was included in Stonewall, because part of the pushback after that night, and you know, before that night as well, but is like, we need to have spaces that belong to us, that are owned by us. And realizing that it wasn't always that way, and it's still not that way. There are still lots of gay bars out there that are owned by cisgender, heterosexual, rich men. So, yeah.
Would you say that one of the themes of this particular book mm-hmm. is representation? Because, and straight white men, if you're out there, don't come after me. But you never hear a straight white man say, I don't really feel represented.
Yeah.
You never hear it. You're not going to hear that. I mean, what was I watching the other day? Dune.
Yeah.
It's set like tens of thousands of years in the future, and a straight white man is still in charge. I'm like, come on. Are you kidding me right now? So do you feel like representation is an important part of this particular book?
I think it is. I don't know if I would say necessarily it was like a theme that I went in kind of like super conscious of. Like I wanted to make sure that I was having like a fun cast of characters. Like that's important to me. And then that the people that they meet when they kind of like travel back in time are a little bit, you know, also represent the various opinions that people had at the time, and you know, if someone feels like represented in that book, that is like awesome. But for me, it was mostly like, how can I create like fun characters doing, like how can I make this as fun as possible? Right. Also for me to write.
So would you yourself want to go back to Stonewall to that night, the riots?
Yeah, I think I would. I think it would be really hard, you know, it's hard to be like, I would go back through this like moment of violence, but I wouldn't want to deny myself like a chance or an opportunity to be a part of something. Just like there's so many parts and moments to be a part of things now. But I would do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting mm-hmm. in one part how one of the characters, I guess, is really reliant on technology, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden he realized he can't use a cell phone mm-hmm. because there are no cell phones.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's interesting. I think those, at least the kids who were yeah. sent back or who were transported uh-huh. to Stonewall, got some idea of what it was, how hard it was to even connect.
Yeah.
And how hard it was to be yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It was important to me to show that it was like difficult, mm-hmm. that it was like underground, that it was a lot of like direct eye contact and like looking for like, where are your keys on your, like, how are you wearing your keys? Like there's like so much that doesn't that is so different now. However, it was important that to show that it was like absolutely still there. It was thriving in its own way, and that we can still use and learn from how people connected in the past today. Mm-hmm. Like it's still relevant.
Yeah, and the fight for progress still goes on, mm-hmm. that's for sure. Mm-hmm. What is something you really want people to take away from this book?
Yeah, I felt really honored that First Second picked up this book as someone who grew up queer, but not really understanding, not having a language, not having like any sort of representation. I was not in a big city. There was, you know, I didn't know how to like look and notice queers around me. And I didn't learn about Stonewall until I was like an adult. And I was like, well, this is bonkers. Why was this not taught? And I do feel like history classes are changing for youth. And also like media is different, but I felt really honored that it was even like I was even able to like write about this subject, and so I think the thing that I would like people to get from it, one is just like knowledge that it happened, that it was an important moment in our history, and two, that the resistance of the past can teach us how to resist now. And that the methods of flyer, like anything from like handing out flyers or singing fun chants, like those are still relevant and necessary. So I think, I hope that that's something that they get.
I did not want to leave out A. Andrews, though.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So tell me about that collaboration.
Absolutely. So, to go back to like how this book kind of came apart. So First Second has a whole line of history comics, and they did an initial announcement of what books they were putting out. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. I looked at them and I was like, there's no LGBTQ history in here. So I found one of the editor's names and I just emailed, like cold emailed, and I was like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I've written. And here's like three LGBTQ moments in history that I would love to write about. And they were like, oh yeah, we should have this. And so they took me on and they were like, do you want to draw it as well? And I was like, no, I do not want to draw a bunch of buildings. And so we worked together, the editor and I, to find an artist. For those that don't know, A. Andrews is a queer artist. They have another book out called, that's also in the same line as my book, The Quick and Easy Guide to They, Them Pronouns. A. Andrews' book is A Quick and Easy Guide to Sex and Disability. And so they're like a fabulous artist. Their portfolio was like, yes, buildings, amazing character designs, and I think they did such a good job with illustrating the mm-hmm. book. It makes it like so much more enjoyable, and you could see so much more of the characters than what I could just write. So it was awesome to work with them on it. Yeah.
And this book is not solely about the Stonewall riots. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's mostly about it, mm-hmm. but even being an editor for mm-hmm. an LGBTQ plus news outlet, yeah. there were some things I learned in here. Like there were, of course, pre-Stonewall yeah. protests, yes. events.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could mm-hmm. you talk a little bit about what you included pre and post Stonewall?
Yes. So it was, in the end, I did want to make sure that I was like, it didn't start with Stonewall, you know, it didn't end with Stonewall, but it definitely did not start there. And having this end moment, I really got to include big and small moments of resisting, of taking up space, and like of queers trying to live their best life. So it was important that I included other riots or like other pushbacks. It was also included, like I wanted to make sure I included like this was the year that two boys went to prom together. Like there's so many big and small ways to act out, to like to push back against like perhaps like a norm, and that they've it's happened in, like throughout history. So it was like did I answer that question? I think you did. Okay. Like, am I rambling?
Because Pride Month, as you all know, is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. What does Pride mean to you?
Oh, so good. That's a great question. To me, Pride is accepting yourself, like taking the time to get to know yourself, and then also feeling brave enough to express yourself, and having like, you know, I feel it's like a self-worth that comes from the inside, but is stronger through connection, and stronger through like physically being in the same space. I think that is like so, so important, and that you can only do so much by yourself, and you can only be so proud, but it's important that to be visible and to have that, to have your, for me, sometimes it's like, it's so important for my queerness to get reflected back at me by people I'm around, whether that just be like a celebration or like reading the same like queer books together. Like there's so many different ways it can happen. And that to me is like kind of like pride, yeah.
I actually do have a couple more questions, but did you want to see if the audience had any questions?
Yeah, sure.
Did anyone out there have any questions?
What do you think like the most part of the event of Stonewall that people don't know? What is that one event that you think is so important that people don't
know? Yeah, I think that something that maybe people don't realize is that it lasted more than one day. That it was like multiple days of resistance, and then it actually got more violent as time progressed, which I mentioned in the book. But I think sometimes when people think of Stonewall, they think of it as like this moment of this brick, you know, the brick being thrown, when really, when you like listen to the accounts, there's like, and someone was like, oh no, it was like someone pushing back, someone, you know, there's different accounts of like actually what was going down. But I think it's important to note that it was not like a quick one and done in the evening, that they, that queers and the LGBTQ community and their allies went back to Stonewall the night after to take up space, to be heard, and to physically out in the open, be able to kind of like communicate, talk, and share resources. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question.
Thank you.
It was great.
Hi. What were the other two moments in queer history you were considering doing? And are there any plans to expand the series and maybe do them?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, I have to go back because I wrote that email a long time ago, pre-pandemic, so it's maybe gone. I don't remember both of them, but I do remember one of them was specifically about ACT UP in the AIDS epidemic and HIV. And I would love to do a book just about that. As of now, I'm not positive if they have plans to expand it. I know History Comics is, they're constantly pushing out new and different moments of history with different authors, with different artists. But that might be something I pitch like later on. Yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted Stonewall though, so.
For sure. Yeah. As a quick follow-up, because I work at an elementary school, do you think this is age appropriate for, you know, around that?
Yes, I do think it's age appropriate for elementary students. However, I think there are a lot of words. So, and I'm not in education per se. So I think right now it's listed as like middle grade and high school.
Perfect.
But I think if you flip through it, you'll probably be able to recognize it sooner. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Do you mind if I have a quick follow-up to that? So when you're writing, for example, a comic, do you have a sort of reader in mind that you are thinking of when you are writing?
Yeah, I don't necessarily always have. Yes, so I think what I'm trying to do when I'm writing is I'm always trying to meet people in the middle. with how I try and approach information. And this is especially in like a quick and easy guide to they, them pronouns. I was like, okay, someone who maybe wants to learn but doesn't have a grasp on it, how can I meet them in the middle and like share this information in a way that's like funny, entertaining, and also going to get my point across? And so the same thing with kind of like Stonewall. If there's people who are like, they're opening the book, they're interested. If they have the book in their hand, they're gonna like, you know, they're gonna look at it. So there's that interest. And so how can I write in a way that is funny, that is interesting, has a little bit of humor, and make it to like a plot that people can like follow and learn from. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, I have a question. My name is Chad. I belong to an employee resource group at my employer, SMS Assist. They're at the Prudential Building. This is a little bit unrelated to the subject, but you were talking about terminology earlier. We're having a panel discussion in June where we're allowing our colleagues to ask questions of a panel about being LGBTQ in the workplace. Mm-hmm. My question, I thought when I've been on previous discussions like this, is it would it be appropriate to define terms in terms of 2022 versus I'm a little bit older and grew up in a slightly different time when the word queer meant something derogatory. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know, again, you don't have an education background, but it would be helpful for me to understand from an outside perspective what the language and the lingo means now and perhaps in your book.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So as far as like, is it appropriate to like kind of like define things with 2022 kind of like meaning, I do think it's important to do it because that's how people are kind of talking right now, but it's also important to be like, and it was at this, you know, it was, and for some people still is, like a derogatory term, and then you're giving people the most information and they can kind of like go with it as they will. And like, yeah, it's always kind of evolving and changing, so I think as long as people know that too, that no definition is like a strict definition when it comes to like LGBTQ things. Can you repeat part of that?
That's okay,
question?
No problem. Talk about the terminology, uh-huh. And then talk, you did mention a little bit earlier about the terminology in your book specifically, and you'd mentioned that it's, you know, geared towards more middle school and high school age. Mm-hmm. So was that something that you recognized that you had to define the word queer in 1969 versus the word queer in 2022?
Yes. Yeah. I believe in the what we did in the book is do the 2022 like terms. It wasn't like, and this is what it meant in like the 70s. Trying to have a concise glossary of terms that kids can kind of like read and like, again, have like, gives you a nice baseline to like, hopefully like jump off of. Like, this isn't the only book about Stonewall they're going to read. It's not the only book about LGBTQ topics. It's something they've already probably been immersed in some fashion.
You were never challenged by the fact that queer then was not the same as queer now. I mean,
I don't know if challenged is how, I don't think I felt challenged by it, but I did want to honor the history of it being like a derogatory term. Mm-hmm. However, I also want to honor that nowadays it is frequently a really powerful term and something that represents a community. And I think while mentioning it, I also want to join in that celebration. I want the youth who are reading it to feel celebrated.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I find it really interesting how the younger generations, those whippersnappers, you know, are taking back or taking control a lot of terms that other people, older people, have considered derogatory, like queer, like even the F word.
Yes.
That's or the N-word. It's like a lot of younger people are taken. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a slippery topic, but yeah, it's one we're constantly going to be wrestling with as the language does evolve.
Absolutely. I think it's totally okay to feel conflicted also. You know, like, it's, that's fine. It's also like you are in, like, you, you're always in, like, control of being like, I don't use that term for me. Right. You know, like, that is right, something that people can hear and respect. Yeah, yeah.
So the foreword is written by Michael Bronski, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who is really well known as a historian. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you managed to connect with Michael.
Yeah, so it wasn't me.
Oh.
Sadly. But in History Comics, they have a historian in every, do the introduction for every book, which I think is really important because it mm-hmm. brings in, like, you know, history is just such a mesh of people and knowledge. And so my editor was like, oh, I got this person, and I was really thrilled, and I loved the introduction. It's really mm-hmm. well written. And so it wasn't me who made that connection, but it is, like, just like the format of History Comics, and then it was important to me that we have, there's like a little a letter at the end mm-hmm. too. So it was important to me that there's like this historian who's like kind of talking at the beginning, and then at the end I wanted to have a trans activist kind of like write a letter to the readers, to youth, to kind of like end the book on. So it is like history and then also someone talking about what it's like a little bit today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the series, you mm-hmm. were talking about events, but have you also thought about maybe having a series about people?
Mm.
Like, you could have Larry Kramer,
yeah.
you could have, there are hundreds of
yeah.
people.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
You could write forever.
I mean, I could, but also, like, so many other people could also do it. It would be amazing
true.
If, I think, if this publisher or another publisher did take those important people in history, somehow, you know, made it into like an informational, fun comic. Again, that's like mm-hmm. my favorite way to learn about information. And could probably, yeah, have a really good series about it.
Mm-hmm. Hi again.
Hi.
I would like to hear more about your experience writing this book. So what was the most enjoyable experience when you're writing this book? And what was also that was the challenging part?
Yeah, so I think the most enjoyable experience is, like, I love writing characters. So it was like really fun for me to kind of think about the three main characters and like how they individually, as, you know, individual characters would react in this moment, because it's different. That was such a joy to kind of like be like, okay, in their shoes, like would this one character gets really scared and doesn't really want to like fight back. It's like kind of nerve wracking. And one character is like, I'm gung ho, I'm into it. And the other character is having just like a hard time wrestling with where they know current history is and the past. And so that was super enjoyable, but I think it was also really challenging to show these three different kind of like reactions, and then how they kind of like come around was hard to write, with being like, oh no, like it is really important to like to unite with other struggles and like work together and like doing little resistance, even though it doesn't, you don't always feel the big change, it does create change. And then a character being like, there are like ways that you can like push back that feel safe to you, that can still kind of like feel okay in your body. And then also like one of the characters who was really who's like super gung ho is like, okay, there's other, like, oh yeah, you can just like create like a zine about something, and like that is a way of resistance and not just like fighting or like being physical. So that was like challenging, but really fun at the same time.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And today I'm going to use the word gung ho.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So mine's really a question about process, more than your topic, but about working with your illustrator. So you're the writer, so you've read comics your whole life, so writing sequential art is probably making sense to you. But who's deciding, you know, are you saying this is an image and this is an image?
Yeah.
Or is the illustrator putting a lot in on that? How's that? How did you do that dance?
Yeah, great question. So as a since I am a comic artist, it's very easy for me when I'm writing, I picture the panel. So I already kind of have a visual idea of like what's going where and my knowledge in just by from reading comics, but also drawing my own helps a lot with like pacing and how much actually can go into a page, which I know that some comic writers have a challenge. I know from comic writers and comic artists is kind of a challenge to be like, I can't fit this much in one panel. So I always have like a little bit of an idea of what it's gonna look like. However, I also sometimes let that go to see what the artist comes up with. So with working with A. Andrews, I had a written script, and so when I did it, it was like, here's the text of what's being said, and then like a short description of what I have wanted in each panel. And it was really fun to work with A. Andrews, because if they were like kind of stuck, I was like, here's a thumbnail. I can quickly thumbnail and draw out what I think the overall page, what the panel could look like, which sometimes they took and sometimes they did their own thing. That's kind of like a little bit of back and forth. Frequently, that doesn't always happen, but I really liked communicating about what I pictured for this book. So having done my own comics does help me as like a writer as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Stonewall?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, tell me what your experience was. I went for the first time right before the pandemic in 2019, and just really had this wonderful experience just being there and going in and having a cocktail or maybe two or three.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I have been to Stonewall, definitely during a weeknight. So it was very empty.
It was, yeah. As was for me as well.
And I think it's just like, I had a great night. It was super fun, had a cocktail too, but it just felt like really good to be in that space and like to touch the walls and just to kind of like think about like, okay, this was people have been meeting here for so long that it felt really cool to like be like, okay, now I'm gonna meet people and kind of like follow in those kind of footsteps. I love queer history. I just went to the Leather Archives here. Yeah. For the first time, I was like, I'm doing it on this trip, which felt very similar, like just being like, oh, this is so cool to be like present with such important moments of history, that can look like a lot of different ways. It can like being present in history can look like having a cocktail. And I just think that's so cool.
Amazing how cocktails are that connected to history, aren't they?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You should stay here a few days longer and wait for IML. You can go.
Oh my gosh, is that coming up? Oh, I wish I could. Sounds fun.
All right. Thank you to our program participants for being here today and for all of you to allow us to celebrate American writing safely and in person. Mm-hmm. Please join me again in thanking Archie and Andrew.
I'm signing books, right? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AWM Author Talks podcast. Next week will be the 100th episode of the AWM Author Talks, and we have something special to celebrate the greatest hits from our most popular episodes. Now go, be inspired, and find the mind of a writer in yourself.